you. Good evening, everyone. I am going to call the public hearing to order at this point. We have only one item on the agenda, and that is a public hearing on the tentative supervisory district plan. What I want to do is to start out with a brief presentation from Jeff Blusky of our zoning department, who's going to talk about what considerations go into drawing a map, and then what happens from here in terms of the process. So I'll turn it over to Jeff, and then anybody who is interested in speaking at this public hearing, please go out in the hall at the desk right outside the door there and sign up so that we can call on you to come up and speak. So if you haven't done that yet and you are interested in speaking, please get out there fairly quickly. All right, Jeff.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Chairman. This is going to be repetitious, probably the third time that some of you guys have seen this, but this is for the people who have not. And again, this is how the redistricting committee and the county board has gotten to this point to show you the tentative plans that the committee is offering up tonight. Redistricting is done once every 10 years following the census. This is something that's mandatory. It's not something that's voluntary. You have to go through this process. It's the opportunity to realign all the districts based on population shifts, change the number of districts, and to incorporate the annexations that have happened over the 10 years in all the municipalities. The second bullet there is something that we take very seriously. This is starting from scratch, folks. This is not taking a look at anything existing, because the county population has gone up about 7,000 people in the out county. The first lines drawn are the county supervisory districts. That's the point that we're at right now. This is the county board plan. The principles that the committee came up with, and these are in order of priority. Equal population, this is something that's the target all the way around the room. You'll see some reference to an ideal population. The ideal population in this case was 3,953. If you look at this side map over here on the right wall, the ideal population 10 years ago was 3,061.
Jeff, I want to just interrupt you real quickly. When you said that these are in order of priority, you made it sound like this was our priority, but this is actually statutory priority.
This is statutory, and these are the principles that the committee did use for their weighing in on the district lines. They had to be contiguous. That means that you couldn't have an island or a piece of the district that's not adjacent. It has to be compact. The smaller the size, the better. You're going to see some that are kind of sticking out there like fingers or arms. That's because there's no population in some of those areas, kind of like the airport. The preservation of communities of interest, the traditional neighborhoods, the ethnic groups, and common characteristics. When you're working with a population of almost 4,000, it's hard to do that sometimes, but I think we ended up with about five variations of the 29 plan in order to come up with that. The preservation of political districts, this is something that's almost impossible to do when you're starting over. The preservation of school district boundaries. For those that heard my spiel last time, the school district boundaries is probably something that's really going to have a hard look at in this county, because it's impossible to link yourself to those boundaries. The preservation of core districts. Only if you're changing the number of, if you're not changing the number of districts, and in this case, the committee had to decide to downsize, and the protection of incumbents, that's kind of on the bottom of the list. This is something that everybody has and should be aware of. These are the ward population limits, and over on the side screens here, I've got them again. And they were in a handout, too, if you have to end up referring to them or making a note on there. The next one, Ron. The impact of the wards, municipalities that are under 30,000 and above, what's the number over here, 10,000. They all have to create wards. But the municipalities under 30,000, they don't have to end up using them as reporting wards. Wards can be combined for election reporting. Again, one polling place. Municipalities over 30,000, and we only have one of those, the City of La Crosse, must report by ward. They can create the need for additional polling places and ballot styles and some additional paperwork. We have found out that with the addition of a ward in a polling place would probably add two poll workers, each with the same voting list. The timeline started back in February. This committee actually started last November. And just for the noteworthy here, this is La Crosse County's population, so we can't have more than 47 county board supervisors. Next. The county board did appoint a redistricting committee. It was not an existing county board committee. It could have been. It had supervisors on it, but also had representatives from the league. I don't think there was anybody there from the Rotary, but there was several citizen members. And the job was to educate the committee about the statutes and the process that they had to end up going through. Our process, as far as the people that had to do the actual drafting, started after they established the guidelines. The committee had to determine the number of draft plans. They actually had us create three different districts, one showing 27 supervisors, one showing 29, and one showing 31. And they've narrowed that down to the 29 plan that's up for discussion tonight. They've scheduled the meetings. We're at the public hearing tonight. It says that there's two. This is the first one. The next one comes when the county board ends up adopting the final plan, and that might be like in September. Kind of covered this already. The county's got the first 60 days, which ends this Thursday, or officially the day after Thursday. Once the plan has been adopted, the 18 municipalities in the county are handed the file, and they start their ward work. And then once the municipalities are done, they give their data back to the county. We double check that data to make sure that there's no gaps or overlaps, and the wards don't overlap any of the ward or supervisory districts. We received this information March 21st from the Census Bureau. On the backs of the sheets there, I've got some contact information from the Legislative Technical Bureau. So that's the agency that officially sent us the information. So if you don't believe anything you hear tonight, you can actually call them and double check it. The county's been working on the plans roughly 4 weeks. We thought we were done, and then there were some revisions at one of the last meetings. And next one, Ron. The ideal population, the equal population standards are found in State Statute Chapter 59. The aldermanic districts are found in Chapter 62. Actually, when I was reading that the other day, actually this last weekend, it indicates that the aldermanic districts are actually created last after everything else is considered done. The district deviation, constitutionally, any of the federal offices that are created, the deviation usually runs about 10%. That's kind of high with the one man, one vote principle that the county has adopted. Our deviation on the current plan is 1%. That means that 1% of the 3,953 people, one of the districts is over by about 40 people, and the lowest district is got about 40 people less. That's where you end up determining the deviation. So from the highest populated district to the lowest populated district, there's only a difference of 80 people. And that's that average of two out, and it's actually zero. These are things you cannot do. You cannot concentrate minorities into one district, and you can't reduce their numbers. You can't fracture these groups either into multiple districts by diluting their voting strength. And then gerrymandering, that's trying too hard to create a district. Those are violations of the contiguous compact, etc. Other considerations that the committee actually took a look at were ward size restrictions, and that could end up being one of the topics up for discussion tonight. Over on this side over here, it indicates the municipalities that actually have to create wards, and if they create wards, what their ward size limits are. So this in brown, it might be real hard for people over on the my left-hand side of the auditorium here to see those, but these are the ranges, the smallest and the largest that the wards can be in those municipalities. We actually considered all these things. We did talk to the municipal clerks. We did ask them for their input. We've got some unincorporated villages, but they worked into the township plans. We don't have any prisons. What lines are we following? We're always looking at lines. School districts and ballot styles were all considered. We heard talks on that. Ballot styles, we heard from the city clerk, the county clerk, and a couple of municipal clerks, how they look at those things. The ballot styles can add the voter and poll worker confusion and errors. We wrestled with that. We don't know if that's really true or not. It all comes with exercise and education that I think we can all end up contributing to. The additional costs, the city clerk ended up coming up with some numbers that we're taking a look at. The committee had that to react to. And this kind of summarizes where we are right now, so I'm not going to repeat anything on here. This is where we are today. We're looking for changes. The county board is going to be reacting to this if they want to tonight. That's up to the chairman tonight. Or this will happen on the 19th or at some other point. And then we end up sending the plans on to the municipalities. So this stuff here, the committee doesn't have to worry about because this is something the municipalities end up working on. Ron, next one. This is the last 60 days when the committee ends up meeting again or the county board ends up meeting, and I've kind of indicated that. September would probably be the effective date of the last public hearing and resolution adopting this, and then the plan becomes effective December 15th, so candidates can take out their papers, when, December?
December 1st.
Something like that. This is the official letter from the Fitzgerald brothers on March 21st. That was our marching orders. We had 60 days from that. Next one. I don't know if I've got that as a handout, but a lot of people were interested in the municipal populations. This is the total county population, 114,638. It's up from 107,120. And it's got the population of each one of the municipalities and where they were in 80, 90, and 2000. This is kind of the nuts and bolts of what the committee's been discussing. I think that's the top sheet that you have. That shows the county board size at any one of these levels and the ideal population that had to be met if it was picked. We're looking at 29 tonight. That's where the 3953 comes. That's the new population of each county board supervisory district. You don't have this one, but if you need the information, we've got it broken down by municipality and the ethnic population. Next one, Ron. This is an attorney general's opinion that the committee heard, I think it was maybe two meetings ago, that indicated Shawnee County had a question about if they don't downsize now, could it happen again? The answer is yes. There could be a referendum. And this was actually the statute right there, but I don't think anybody's too up on that one. And I think that's it. So I guess with that, Mr. Chairman, if you want to open it up for discussion now or more questions.
Well, but Jeff, I'm just having Ginny check right now. I think that the map that was handed out is different than what's on the wall.
Which one?
The one that people have in their hands.
Okay, I didn't make that one.
The one that's on the wall is the one that counts. I think that you may have, or whoever handed out the smaller maps may have given version 2 instead of version 1 that
okay.
was adopted. I believe that is...
Okay.
Looked to me like there were a couple differences. For one thing, my recollection in looking at this sheet you
yes.
have here...
Yes.
The first district and first and second district looks different.
I'll explain those.
Okay.
Okay, the three official maps that everybody should be looking at tonight are the one back here, the one in the middle of the wall in the back, and then in the back on the left. It would be your right. The next map up the wall where it says 35 districts is the current county board plan. That's the one that's being erased, and we're starting over. All the little maps that are taped between the big maps, between the three in the back, are the individual city supervisory districts that were requested at last week's meeting. Somebody wanted to see them because they couldn't read the streets. So there should be 13 of those maps up there on the back. And then on the two sidewalls would be the out counties districts enlarged. This map up in front right here that I'm waving the red dot on came from the city of La Crosse, along with the smaller map. Those are not official maps. Somebody has to introduce them and discuss why they're in front of us tonight. That's not up for this committee's decision or discussion unless somebody stands up here and introduces them.
Okay, did we... And I'm going to ask committee members this. Did we adopt Plan 1 or Plan 2 at...
1.
Okay, it's unanimous.
It was 1.
1 of the 2.
It was 1. Definitely
it was
one.
Number
1.
Okay. This, to me, looks like Plan 2.
That's not our plan.
Who handed this out, then? Or why are we handing this
the
out?
City.
Oh, this is the cities.
Yeah. So if you've got a little map like Mr. Doyle has,
okay, now I
understand. That is not up for discussion until somebody introduces it.
All right.
Okay?
Now I'm confused. Or now I'm not confused.
Okay.
My whole life I've been confused, but now I'm not.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. All right. We have, at this point, only three people who've signed up to speak so far. If anybody else is interested, there still is time. But let's start out with Rich Becker. And Rich, can you come up to the podium? Let me just talk about the ground rules before Rich talks, and that is we only have a small number of people signed up to speak, so I'm not going to put any particular time limit on it. This is a public hearing. It is not a debate, so I'm not going to be asking for questions from the county board. I'm just going to allow the speakers to say whatever it is that they wish to say. So go ahead, Rich.
Mr. Chair and ladies and gentlemen of the county board, thank you for allowing me to address you on the issue of reapportionment. I am the chair of the City Reapportionment Committee. I have three areas to touch on. First, I would like to elaborate on the confusion I encountered with the start of the county redistricting process. Last year, I received a telephone call asking me why I did not attend the first meeting of the County Redistricting Committee. I told the caller I did not receive a meeting notice from the county. A few minutes before the second meeting of the County Reapportionment Committee, I was informed I wasn't on the committee. Second area, at the October County Redistricting Committee meeting, Steve Doyle requested of me, where does the City Council stand on the number of City Council members for reapportionment? Later that month, I asked Steve Doyle if he would give the City Council a brief overview of the reapportionment process. The presentation was given by Mr. Doyle at the end of our regular November council meeting. During the next 3 days, I polled the council members as to how many members they would like on the City Council. The results are 8 recommended leaving as is which is 17. 5 recommended a reduction as follows. 2 said 11 to 15. 2 said reduce, but then state a number. And 1 said 15. Another council member said if we reduce, it should be by a small number. Another council member had mixed feelings. And finally, another council member had no opinion, and there was 1 seat vacant. 3rd, each member of the county board has received an approved resolution from the city council requesting the La Crosse County Board of Supervisors to approve the alternative plan of 13 districts within the city limits of La Crosse, including the map. The proposed county plan will cause some city districts to have up to 3 to 5 wards in a district. This will cause confusion for the voters with additional expense due to the need of printing multiple ballots and extra staff at the polls. The alternative plan would have 27 wards in the city 13 districts. And the reason why it's 27, not 26, is because there's a small sliver of the Onalaska school district, so that it has to have a separate ward. Mr. Chair, I'm open to any questions if you will allow it.
I would rather have the other people speak before we do any sort of questions.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rich. Next is Doug Happel.
Thank you, Mr. Doyle. Mr. Becker has been on the council for 20 years, and I've been on 2 months, so he dresses better than I do. I know I'm coming into this in about the third quarter of the ball game, and virtually all that I've learned about the reapportionment process is from Mr. Becker, and I appreciate that, and I cannot disagree with anything that he said. So I would like to speak in just a little broader perspective here. I've noticed that there has been some pressure, I guess, in the media, some pressure from the public about the number of districts or representation areas that you would have in the county and the city and municipalities, excuse me. And I think that kind of misses the idea. There's often discussion that if we have a smaller county board or a smaller city council, that somehow things are going to be more efficient. Efficiency is not a factor of numbers. Efficiency is a factor of system. And there was your principles, by the way, were very, very good. I also like the fact that the least important principle was protection of incumbents. I know about a week to 10 days or 2 weeks ago, there was an editorial in the Tribune that really kind of criticized some local elected representatives for supposedly protecting their positions, saying that if we're going to cut, which we need to everywhere in government, it needs to start with the leaders. I don't think there's anybody on the county board or city council who is making a career out of that or makes their living off of being on those.
I saw some commercials that said I was.
You're going to get paid a little more in your new job. I know I'm not getting paid quite as much on the city council as I was in my previous job. So, the thing that I'm primarily concerned with, and if it's past the fact that I will understand that, but please don't get too hung up on the necessity of reducing positions. And as Mr. Becker said, the council approved an alternative plan with, I believe, the purpose of trying to keep some type of consistency between city districts and county districts. I asked quite a few times and was assured that the council itself, which is separate from the county, is not held to a magic number of 13 or whatever. I don't think there's a magic number of 29 or 35 or 31 or whatever the number is for the county board. Actually, La Crosse County seems to me to be pretty well run, as is the city of La Crosse. And so we don't necessarily have to deal with numbers, deal with efficiency, and if it's an efficiency problem, that's a system problem. And then I guess the last thing, two things. One, I am honestly not sure how I would vote if I was sitting on the county board, and I'm not honestly sure how I'd vote sitting on the city council, because I've only been there for 2 months, so I haven't figured all of this out. But ultimately, what is best for the county, city, village, wherever one happens to live, what's the best there. And please don't get too hung up in all of the comparables. I saw a letter to the editor today. Someone said that Austin, Texas had 800,000 people and six city council members, and La Crosse is somewhat smaller than that and has 17. You know, I don't want to live in Austin, Texas. I want to live in La Crosse. And as far as finally the comparables, Betsy, don't get this wrong whatsoever, but when I was principal at Logan quite a few years back, as Vicki Burke will remember, we used to get challenged all the time about being compared with Central, Jim, where you're at. And how many times did I say to the faculty, Vicki, I'm not really that concerned what Central's doing. I'm concerned what we're doing, because we need to be the best. And that's the county or the city. So my ultimate point is, please don't get too hung up on reducing or adding. Try to be consistent. Try to be as effective as you can. As the last vestige of pure democracy, as an old social studies teacher, are the local governments. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Next we have Doug Farmer.
I was first asked, did Mr. Becker introduce this sufficiently for it to be introduced, or do I have to say I formally asked it to be introduced?
Well, actually, we're not voting on anything tonight, so
well,
you can...
We're concerned with Mr. Blusky's comments. Unless somebody introduces it, we can't talk about it or something like that. And so,
Doug, you can talk about anything you want.
Well, what we've done tonight inadvertently is we have the city's oldest council member following the city's newest council member. And the future's in good hands, Doug. I can retire quickly. But I was asked to... by virtue of the fact having been there forever, to say a few things. Dick Schwantz last Thursday night said that whatever plan we adopt should be user-friendly. That's a good standard. But user-friendly is more than just one day. All right. And I think when Doug Hoppe was talking about not getting hung up on numbers, it's easy to get hung up on numbers because you want election day to run smoothly. But user-friendly has 364 other days. All right. But let me back up here. When I was first elected in 1974, there were 700 homes in my district. It was standard in those days that everybody knocked on every single door. I knocked on every single door for the primary, as did my two opponents, and I knocked on every single door for the general election, as did my remaining opponent. All right. Now, that is direct democracy. You could do it. And if you'd missed a door, I missed Mabel Silbaugh's door, okay, word fed back that you hadn't knocked on every door, and you went and got Mabel, okay? Now, that was, and once I followed my opponent by about 20 minutes. Now, that is a debate worth having. And I'm sure there were some times he was following me by 20 or 30 minutes. It's a debate on the front steps. It's direct democracy, and we can't have town hall meetings. Those days have passed. There are too many people. But if you have a system where you knock on every single door, that's as direct democracy as you can get. You're offering up democracy on a silver platter on the front steps. It doesn't get any better than that. All right. Now, it occurred to me this morning that when I had a district with 700 homes, we got roughly the same number of votes as I get out of a district with 1,300 homes. I would submit to you that there's something in going door to door that energizes people, it commits them to the process, and it involves them. And so user-friendly has a lot of definitions, but I think when you have twice the turnout that we do nowadays, that says that that was very user-friendly. Anybody who's worked with me long enough knows I love my quotes. And there's a quote from Lincoln Steffens, and I'll leave my fellow history buff, Mr. Mettinger, to explain to you someday who Lincoln Steffens was. But he was a muckraker and a reformer and all that back in the early 1900s. But he said, democracy works when everyone has someone to go to. Democracy works when everyone has someone to go to. Now, obviously, that I'm arguing is for larger numbers of elected officials, because that's when democracy works. Those who are in power those who have influence, those who aren't worried about being connected, they always argue for centralization and consolidation because they know that they're going to have more access. All right. Every time somebody knocks on my back door, and in the summer months that happens a little more regularly, I'm reminded of Lincoln Steffens' words. I am, you are, the one they can go to when they have a problem. We are the point of access. We are the front line of democracy. Now, as these words get bigger, that's going to get less, and that's not good. I remember when we had the great pigeon debate in the city of La Crosse. I never saw any of those people in that pigeon debate before that issue, and I've never seen any of them after. But it was important to them. Lord knows it was important to them. And I was, their point of access. So I think, going back to that quote, I think that's true. Democracy works when everyone has someone to go to. And so 13 is what, if this the city ends up with that, and Mr. Becker gave you the numbers, even though we passed this 13, you know there's a great reservoir of support, 8 votes, for larger numbers. And I'm hoping that the county board also will see that. When I was here on the county board, and some of you don't remember that, most of the people who would remember that were deceased, all right, but we had 35 members. And then I went to the city council, and we had 18. And then I served for a while on the school board, and we had 9. And then I served for a while on the tech board, and we had 7. The tech board was pretty sweet. 4 votes could take any roll call any day of the week. You had your vote, so, and you knew you had 2 friends. So one phone call, and you could have that results wired at the tech board. The school board wasn't much different. 9 votes, 5. That's pretty easy. Now, the city council is getting a little more challenging. You got to get 9 votes out of those 18 before you have things wired. It can happen sometimes, but not that often. I think I enjoyed my experience in the county board the most because at 35, you're not going to have 18 votes wired before the debate begins. It just can't happen. Now, I know there are always people who are a little paranoid and think it does, but that is a monumental hurdle. Now, and when I was here, I had the idea, we sort of had the unwritten rule, if you could count 7 votes before the debate began, 7 votes, you went into that debate gambling that because your arguments were good or you know, right was on your side or whatever, that you could come up with the other 10 votes. Now that's open government, and that's the point I'm making there. And that's user-friendly too. Systems that can be remotely wired before the roll call, that's not user-friendly. That's not open government. The larger the body, the better the debate. Far better the debate. And I'm hoping you probably on the county board will still have enough so you have good debate. But at 13, if the council goes to that, that'll be too bad because the debate will be pretty much gone. It's just too easy for other things to happen. So larger numbers, better debate. We're the point of access for people. Everyone should have someone to go to. And I thank you very much.
Thank you, Doug. Is there anybody else that wishes to talk on this topic? Any other non-county board members wish to talk on this topic? All right. I want to vary from what I said a little bit earlier. And actually, the 3 people who spoke, give them a chance to answer any questions if people do have them. I just have one thing I need to point out, though. And actually, in following up Doug Farmer's comments here in terms of the number, our corporation counsel, I believe Jeff Bleske, told us after our county board meeting the other night that we are, from this point forward, locked into 29 county board members. We cannot change that number at this point. Is that correct? Because we gave tentative approval to 29. We can change the lines within 29. We cannot change it to 28, 30, whatever. My understanding, am I correct, that by law we are fixed at 29 at this point? Ralph?
Is it now or after Thursday?
No.
After Thursday.
Is it after Thursday? I thought it was after the tentative approval. When are we fixed?
Well, clearly after Thursday we are.
Are we fixed before then?
Thursday.
anything can happen yet, but on Thursday is the final.
So after Thursday, then it would be fixed and not, okay.
Right, then we can't.
So when we get a formal recommendation from the city, okay, I thought it was after the tentative approval that we could not. Okay. All right, well, that's twice I'm wrong tonight, so I need to resign from the county board one of these days, I think. I want to vary from what I said a minute ago then in terms of that this isn't a discussion because this hasn't really taken much time. So Rich did volunteer that if people had questions, he'd be happy to answer them. So I'm assuming the other two gentlemen would likewise be willing to. So are there any members of the county board here that have questions for any of our speakers? John Menninger. That is correct.
That's what I read. I have a question for the city council as we develop this city plan.
Rich?
Can we go with the mic?
Yeah, if you would, please.
Why?
This was developed by one of our city planners. His name was Tim Ackland on the direction of my orders. And he was given orders not to look at where people live, but to correct two problems. Number one was that the Terrible College was spliced up, and I asked him to fix that, and the Washburn Neighborhood Association was spliced up, and I asked him to fix that. And that's what he came up with.
Bridget.
People in each district, do you know what the numbers are?
Yes, that was analyzed, and the only thing that my memory tells me that the whatever the ideal number is, it's 62 higher than what the ideal number is.
For the largest?
For the largest, yep.
Okay. Rain Friedland.
If we were to have a plan of 31, that would make 14 city council to be determinant. Now, what would that do to tie votes? Under what circumstances would the mayor break a vote? And how do you all feel about the possibility of tie votes and someone else resolving a city council issue, or would that happen? Assuming everyone is there. You have to assume everyone is there at every meeting.
Okay. I didn't take a poll, but as much as I'm aware of, there's only one council member that I'm aware of that's concerned that we should have an odd number. But as far as tie votes, they do happen from time to time, and the mayor does break them, and I've never heard anybody complain about the mayor breaking tie votes.
The committee of the whole,
if there's a tie vote, the mayor doesn't vote at the committee of the whole. So if there's a tie vote, the resolution it goes to the fails. Right, you're correct, Mr. Farmer. I stand corrected. Okay, if there's a tie at the committee of the whole, which is equal to your planning committee, the recommendation to the regular council meeting goes as no recommendation.
Other questions people have? Jeff?
Just so the audience knows what you're proposing to take the 13 districts that are on the 29 plan and swap them? That's what you're proposing to do?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, thank you.
Andrea?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rich, I know I mentioned this at the city council meeting. Where it says in your amended resolution that the Polk County Plan does protect the uniformity without consideration of the neighborhoods. Had instructed Mr. Ackland in the city planning department, I don't believe that that consideration was taken when the county plan is different than the city plan is different in layout than the county plan. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the thoroughfares that were changed on the city's plan versus the county's plan. And I can tell you, with the district, say, I'll just say District 1 going out to Highway 16 and County B, that was not taken into consideration as to
that's what I thought
what
you said, but that
plan. Was. I mean, whoever moved it up totally didn't have the best interest of the thoroughfare shift. And also along Road Street, which is a main thoroughfare as well. So I don't know why that was put in there, but where the county plan did take the best interest of the thoroughfares.
That would be after
and
this
they,
Thursday.
I feel so have a better plan okay. than the city plan, and I don't know why Mr. Ackman came up with that plan, taking that thoroughfare and putting it way out to from one all the way out to County B, where you're slicing up the community interest is what I'm saying.
When I directed Mr. Ackland to draw this plan, I wasn't aware of the problem that you are proposing, because when the county, the last time the county redistricting committee met, I came in late because I couldn't get off from work, and those were the two problems I heard after the meeting was over. So I guess the key term is communities of interest. Like the Washburn and Viterbo College, those are communities of interest, and I'm trying to grasp where what the community of interest that you are alluding to.
Well, I think you're focusing on neighborhood Washburn neighborhoods, basically, and Viterbo College, basically. You're just taking those two. But what I'm deviating from what you are saying about the community of interest. Thoroughfare speaking from the county plans, District 1 never went out all the way out to County B. Now you're slicing that up with the thoroughfares out there, and that is not part of the best interest of the neighborhoods in the significant thoroughfares, which you have spelled out in that resolution.
Okay.
And I don't know why Mr. Ackland wouldn't have looked at that when he drew up this city plan and had taken a look at what the county plan was. He just, I don't know why he did what he did. So I'm opposed to the city plan, which everybody probably knows by now.
Okay.
Ralph Geary.
Maybe Jeff want to explain the thing about wards. You told us at the last meeting the city will have either two, three, or four wards in every district, but none of these wards have been created. Just for simplicity, let's say a census block is a city block, and that'll have 50 people on it. Then they'll take another block, but they could go north, they could go south, they could go east, they could go west.
Correct.
They'll create these wards that haven't been created yet. After they create the wards, then they will create their district and put that whole ward in that district, right?
The aldermanic districts are created from the ward plan.
Right. So my point is on this redraw or whatever this thing is, they've got all the flexibility anyway. They're going to create a ward, and if they want that ward of 800 or 2,000, the ward can be up to 3,200 in the same district, they can put it in the same district.
John Meyer.
Rich, we noticed there's a lot of white areas down the lower part of the map.
Are those, are those Shelby?
Those are Shelby. And roughly that would be the area where McDonald's is.
Any other questions for Rich or the other two gentlemen who spoke? Any other questions? Yeah, Joe Billings.
About that number 62, that districts vary by 62. So I want to make sure. So the district that has the highest number compared to the district that has the lowest number of households, it only varies by 62 people. Is that true?
That I'm not sure of. I don't have somebody here from the city planning department tonight.
So we don't know the difference. and the least populated districts on the city plan?
I don't have that information with me.
Okay. I think it would be, I know it would be helpful for the county to have that information, because that was our number one criteria, that the one person, one vote, that that people get about equal representation in each district. The committee picked 29 because that was a so-called sweet spot where there was not a lot of variance. So it would be important for us to have that information if we could get it.
Okay. I will say this. I did ask Mr. Ackland to call the county, and I don't know who he talked to the county, and I says, does this plan pass muster on deviation? And he told me yes.
I appreciate that, but there's a difference between passing muster and
I understand.
Having a good number. So if you could just get that information before the
So that information, I should direct the city planning department to forward that information to Mr. Bleschke and Mr. Doyle?
That'd be wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions anybody has? Any other questions? Seeing none, any other speakers other than county board members here that want to make any presentation or comments to the meeting? Seeing none, is there a motion from anybody in the county board to adjourn, moved by Jerry Sobranek? Well, jump in quick. Right, yeah, otherwise it won't record.
Sorry about that.
Sorry. Just a quick comment. All I'm asking is it possible that...
Could you just state your name for the record since you hadn't signed
it? Janice Heschler. I was just wondering if... I'm just thinking kind of outside the box. Is there a way to combine the city of La Crosse and the county into an overall plan called the Cooley Region District type of thing? And I'm just asking that because I'm thinking we're all kind of broke, you know. It's like, okay, how do we stop? And I know what Doug's saying about everybody having a vote, but I'm just saying myself, this is comment saying we don't have the money to really everybody get a vote. So how about let's do what we can as fair as we can, save as much money as we can, and try to consolidate and combine the city and the county with fewer people. That's just all I want to say. You know, I just feel like we would be more efficient, get things done, and the whole point is to make this a better place for everybody. That's my point. And I just feel like, why do we have the city and the county, and we have, you know, redundant or duplicate type of services? Why don't we just start really combining? I think Onalaska, La Crosse, the county, to me, we should all be together and make this a Cooley region, which would make this a strong area instead of being disjuncted and arguing about everything. To me, the big picture is make this better for everybody. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. If the city would like to cease existence, the county would be willing to take over operations. So, Doug and Rich, if you could put that on the agenda for your next council meeting. Okay, now I think we're ready. Jerry Sobranek moves to adjourn. Is there a second? Seconded by Bill Brockmiller. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no. Carried unanimously. We're adjourned. Thanks for coming tonight, everybody.